Glory to God. We're going to teach a little bit of word this morning. I know some of you are like, why are we moving on? We are moving on. Praise the Lord. I encourage you to do this as a church. If God has spoke to you concerning anything, get in your Bibles and write it on the back of your Bible if you don't have a notebook. If you're taking notes, get in there, write down what God just spoke to you. Get on your phones, write down what God just spoke to you. Amen. Write the things down. It's important because how many know God will give you things in puzzle? Has anybody ever seen a 500-count puzzle piece? You ever bought one before? Has anybody, come on, nobody's bought a puzzle in the house? Come on, I know there's puzzle people in the house because I've been to your house, and it's all over the place because my kids showed up, and they wrecked it. Amen. So I apologize for that ahead of time. But even in my own house, Rachel will be working on puzzles, and the kids will come in and be like, I want to help, and end up knocking it more apart than helping put it together. And how many of you know that's just a good illustration right there of times where we try to put things in our, God gives us good things in our own life, and he gives us vision and plans, and what happens is like the puzzle pieces, my kids showed up, and I remember one instance, like again, in our own home where Rachel was putting this puzzle together, and it's like, Dad, I want to help, and then I come back after washing my hands or going some other place in the house, come back, and it's what happened, and I just see the look on my wife's face like, you know, because there's hours invested into that, to that puzzle piece. But how many of you know, it's when we start to put our, come on, hands on what God has told us to do, we need to, when he gives us vision and purpose and plans for our life, when he gives us instruction, we need to do what he tells us to do. We have a part to play. But how many of you know you can't fulfill God's plan for your life without him? And there's so many times as believers where we're trying to take a hold even of the good things that he's given us, the good instruction, the good, and we're trying to make, come on, that business happen all by itself. I'm going to make this thing happen. And there's sometimes you just need to step back and just get into worship like we just did, get into some praise, and then allow God to speak to you. And then through one word that he speaks to your heart, come on, he says, this is what I declare to you through worship, what you need to say over that business or over, and you begin to do what he tells you to do. And where it's been hard at work or hard in your business or hard in your spiritual walk, God just says, speak this word, do this, and you do it. And things begin to flow. Things begin to click. Is there any of you where you've taken your hands off of things where you're trying to make things happen and you just said, Father, I release this to you. And God said, good, that's the way I wanted it to begin with. And you begin to see things be more progressive, to move along. Is anybody, you've had that in your life over the years where God has just said, you know what? Thank you for taking your hands off of that. Though I want you to put your hands to areas of the vision and what I've given to you, there's just times where you're trying to make it happen. And God's saying, I don't want you to do that. Keep me included. In other words, God is the one who gives us the pieces of the puzzle. Whereas sometimes you may be where you receive a prophetic word. Well, good. Write that down. Write these things down in your Bible because they're pieces of what? They're pieces of the puzzle. And there's things that God shows you in part. And we need to write those things down. So that's why I said all that is because I really believe in my heart this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about the thought life. So I pray that in this house, this is not like, you know, here we go again. How many know repetition is a good teacher? Amen. And there's things we need to learn because Jesus said this in the Gospels. Come on. He said this, and you see other disciples say this in similar. You shall know the truth, and what? The truth shall what? Set you free. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. So Jesus is the Son of God, truth. And if there's anything that you need to know, he said, guess what? When I ascend to the Father, I'm sending you a comforter. He is the Holy Spirit. He is a person. And he's going to remind you of things, Jesus said, that I've already said to you. Amen. So this morning, I want to minister to you about thinking about your thoughts. Amen. And so there's times where you've had others. I've had many family members, even my own life, come up to me because I just kind of zone out. I've said this before. and an illustration, but has anybody ever heard of the movie Walter Mitty? Anybody ever heard of that movie? Walter in the movie kind of taps out and he goes into like this zone. He'll be engaging in the conversation and then he just taps out. And he just goes to this place. And the, in the movie, the story continues. The movie's still going. And you think it's just part of the movie. And so there's things where he's like this action hero and he's jumping off of buildings and, you know, why he's waiting for a subway train to come. And in the beginning of the movie, he goes off and then he comes back. And then the train he was waiting for, the subway train, is now gone. Why? Because he got out there and just, you know, he's just thinking out there. And so there's times, even in that movie, he's constantly asked, Walter. His mother's like, Walter, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Like, is she, one person says in the movie, where does your mind go? Like, where do you go? Like, do you go off to this place, you know? And right, it's not saying, you know, should we or should we not go off? Because there's times we're retired and we just zone out. I get that. But there's times, the point of that was this simple illustration of what are you thinking about? Where does your mind go? Come on, when you're tired or not tired, or when life is good or when life isn't good, when things are going on. So many times we struggle with our thought life. Come on, I'm 41 years old. There's times where I've struggled with my thought life. And so I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about thoughts having plans. Did you know your thoughts have plans? Listen, thoughts can consume you. Do you know you can grab one Ephesians chapter 6, fiery dart? Come on, thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. The same thoughts that came in Matthew chapter 4 when the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Matthew chapter 4, and the Holy Spirit, noticed, led him in the wilderness. Do you think that God knew what Jesus was getting ready to encounter? Some of you in here, there's places that God is leading you and gonna lead you to, and in the natural, it's gonna seem like this isn't the place that I want to be. Are you? Or am I sure this is God? But I tell you, if you listen on the inside, he's going to send you in the places in this generation to impact you, but also to impact those around you. Amen. And so it's important that when you're moving in the direction of the Holy Ghost and you're doing what the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, the one that Jesus prophesied about, said that would come, that he will lead you and guide you into all truth. And guess what? He said he will be one that is truth. Come on, truth. And he will show you what's coming. He will warn you. In other words, here's a piece of the puzzle. Here's what's coming. Here's another piece. Pray about that. Pray out that prophecy. Come on, pray out that word. Amen. And so if you don't have the right mindset, how many of you can grab a, you know, you can grab a hold of what we talked about? Genesis chapter 3. You can grab a hold of what that it with that which is good, acceptable, come on, and it, that which is pleasant to the eye, that is that which is delightful. You're like, wait a minute, in my spirit, in my heart, I feel like I need to go that way, but this looks good over here. Come on, this is pleasant and desirable. This is to my eye, come on. And you notice a lot of times it's always to your outward man. You know, your body, your eye gate, your ear gate, but the real you who is spirit on the inside, the Holy Ghost is saying, don't go over there. That's not my plan for your life. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? And so your thoughts have a major play. That's why I say thoughts can consume you. You could be so consumed with the plan of God even and the vision of God and what he's given you. You could be so consumed with it that you're trying to figure out how to make the thing happen. And so you're consumed on trying to get it done. And God said, I don't want you. And then you move over into anxiety and into depression and fear. Because why? Things aren't moving at the pace you thought they needed to move in your marriage, in your money, in your relationship. Do you hear what I'm saying? And there's sometimes the Lord, listen, you'll look at somebody else's life and you say, man, they are rocking it. They are moving. They are doing something with their life. And you've been watching this person. Maybe they're a believer in the church and they're like, man, they are just shaking the world. And I'm just here. Come on, the grass is greener on the other side because it's being watered. That person is developing themselves. That person is reading books. That person is working on their leadership. That person is secretly building themselves and developing themselves and feeding themselves in the Word of God. They put mentors in their life. They have pastors in their life. Come on, they have accountability in their life. Amen. There's development. There's movement. Amen. And so thoughts can consume you, but thoughts can set you free. How many of you know when God gives you vision and purpose and plan for your life, and you understand, okay, I'm moving in the direction with God, and I'm developing myself spiritually, and I'm growing with God. How many of you know your thoughts can free you? How many of you know you could be like yesterday? We married a brother, Chad Buchanan, that's in this church. It's from this house, came out of this house to go to Rhema Bible Training College. And yesterday we married Chad and Sierra. Sierra is now a Buchanan, so it's Chad and Sierra Buchanan. And this church financially blessed them with the gift. Amen. All of you sitting in this room gave a beautiful gift to a newlywed couple from this house. Amen. And so their goal is to do what? Their goal, God put vision and purpose into them. Come on, he gave them a plan. And so they communicated some of the plan. They say, we intend to come back and get involved and help build the house because we see the vision. We see what you're doing. We want to be a part of it. We want to come help build. Amen. And so how many of you know that even in that conversation that we had, how many of you know that our brother and sister there has been meditating on something? They've been thinking about something. Come on. God's speaking to them. And so thoughts can free you. How many of you know it's freeing as a pastor when you have people that said, hey, I know you sent us out to the Bible school, but guess what? We're coming back, and we're coming back to get involved because we believe in what you're doing. How many of you know that's awesome? How many of you know that's right thinking? How many of you know that's a thought that's freeing, not only for me, but for them? Because we're identifying the plan of God and what he wants us to do. We're being led by the Holy Spirit. That's freeing. Amen. And that's something to meditate on. Because you begin to think about, God, what do you want me to do when I'm done and I get back there? Where do you want me to serve? Where do you want me to get involved? What does the house need? Because why? Because it's about live, love, lead. Live through community, love unconditionally, and lead passionately. Loving God, loving people, getting out and touching people's life with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So did you know this? Jeremiah 29:11 says this. If you have your Bibles, Jeremiah 29:11 says this. It says, for I know the thoughts. Jeremiah's prophesying as he's saying, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. How many of you know your thoughts have plans? Let me say it again. The Amplified says it like this, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, not just for Danny. Come on. Not just for Rachel. Because we look at other people's lives and we're like, God is moving again because they're developing themselves. They're listening to God. They're spending time in prayer. Come on. When you are out of gasoline in your car, are you practically going to move? Come on. Speak to me. Roll with me. Are you going to move? You're not going to move. You're going to be in place, not able to move. But how many know when you have good insurance and you call or you call a friend or whoever, they come bring you a gas tank full of gasoline? Has anybody in here ever been broke down before? It's especially, I broke down not too long ago on an incline. And it was hard to get off on the shoulder of the road, but somebody brought me gasoline. And it was so awesome, the simplicity of filling that tank to where I can turn on the car and get down the highway. All this morning is about filling your tank to the full, and listen, and not letting it go down to 3/4. Life will put you at 3/4. Life will put you at a half a tank. Life, if you let it happen to you, we'll put you at a quarter of a tank. And if you keep letting life happen to you instead of you happening to life, you speaking by faith, you praying in the name of Jesus, you accessing the authority that God's given you, you saying, I'm not staying in this position. God, you're going to provide a way of escape. This is your plan, your calling. I'm doing what you call me to do. You led me to be a witness to that person, and that person rejected the word of God. But God said, that's okay. The seed of the word was planted in our life. Do you hear what I'm saying? God's called us to operate out of a full cup, out of a full tank. And so Every thought, let me say it like this, comes with a set of plans. God's thoughts for you have plans for you. And here's the thing, two words, God's thoughts are active and directional. God's thoughts for you and his plan for you, his thoughts are toward you, active and directional. There's movement. And when you have a full tank, you're spending time with God in the Word of God, not just on Wednesday, Tuesday, and Sunday, but during the week, you're filling your tank. That way, when God says, hey, let's do this, you go, you just turn it on, and you get down the highway. Why? Because you have a fuel. Come on. You have fuel in your tank. You have a full tank. And so, again, wrong thoughts can empty your day. They could steal your joy from you. Do you hear what I'm saying? They'll take the joy. One thought can captivate you and take the joy of your day away, making you angry, making you sad, and you're mad. And I'm not saying, listen, I'm not saying that we don't deal with life, but we don't deal with life without the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need to get God on the scene. We need to get the Word of God in our heart and out of our mouth. Well, I don't know what to do here. Stop complaining, talking about the problem, murmuring about the issue. Quit beating other people with your tongue. Quit lambasting other people, because the problem is not other people. The problem is us. Come on. Well, they annoy me. Well, maybe you need to grow in that area from being annoyed. Maybe you're easily angered all the time, and God just placed that person who annoys you in your life to help you see that the very thing that is in them is what you don't need to be, which is an annoying, mocking hypocrite. You say, well, where does that come from? Because the body of Christ, come on, the world is looking at us going, these people are God's people. They have love for one another. Nowhere in the context of Scripture does it say, come on, you are my disciples because of the hypocrisy that you have one to another, because of the bitterness that you have one to another, because of the picking that you do one to another, because of the mockery that you do one to another. When we get in that mode as Christians, what are we doing? We're grabbing a hold of the enemy, speaking to our mind. We're getting in the flesh. We're being carnal. And the Apostle Paul has a lot to say about carnal thinking and what carnal thinking is. Come on, the Bible says this. God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. But my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. So God didn't say, come on, these are my disciples. The world will know you are my disciples for the picking and the aggravation that you do one to another. Because I could tell you, when it's not playful and it's on purpose and you're strategic about your planning to pick on somebody all the time and be bitter towards someone I'm a Christian. Well, inform your face, because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Come on, love, joy, peace, and so on. Amen. And when you're bitter in your heart, come on, what did you do? You grabbed a hold of a thought. That thought has a plan. It has a destination. And when you're not, I'm getting ahead of myself, but when you're not grabbing that thought and pulling it down, come on, identifying that's not God. That's a bitter way of thinking. You know what? I don't need to allow this into my thought life, right? Because I need to think about what I'm thinking about. So God said this, I have plans. My thoughts have plans for you. They're directional. They're active. And again, let me say it again. The devil has plans for you. They are also directional, and they are active and ever working. Three times he came to Jesus in Matthew 4. Come on. He came to the disciples. Who do you think was speaking into the ears of Judas Iscariot? Come on, betray Jesus, betray Jesus. Come on, betray Jesus. And then he kissed him on the cheek, and for a few pieces of silver betrayed the Son of Man. Come on. Jesus looked at him and said, whatever you must do, go and do it. Come on, amen. And so how many know there's something that even Judas was meditating on? There's something that he was thinking on. It isn't just one day that somebody walks into a church. We see a lot of calamity, a lot of shootings, and a lot of things going on. It wasn't one day that somebody woke up. Remember the church in Texas not too long ago? There was a shooting in a church in Texas, and there was people in the church that had weapons, and they rose up and shot the intruder after he shot a few people. Do y'all remember that in Texas? I do. It wasn't too long ago. Do you know there was things that that dude was meditating on? There were thoughts. Come on, coming into his mind, the enemy who comes to steal, kill. Well, how do you know the devil's speaking? Because Jesus said, I come to give you life and life in abundance, John 10:10. The Bible says the thief come in John 10:10, the thief, Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That man came, showed up, full of the devil, ready to destroy, ready to take life. Do you hear what I'm saying? Well, he's just the gunman. Right here in this house, we're not too many thoughts removed from being in danger or endangering somebody else's life, even your own. That's why it's important what comes into your mind. We need to think about, come on, we need to get the word of God in our heart. So when that thought comes, let me say it again, that has a plan from the enemy, you grab it. And then you cast that down and you say, God, what are your thoughts? What are your plans? And you say, wait a minute, I already know that because I'm reading the word of God, which is the will of God. So now I know how God thinks about me, how he views me, how I need to handle this situation. Amen. And so, you know, New Age meditation, we said this before, we'll say it again. New Age meditation teaches to free your mind and empty of all thoughts. We're not talking about New Age meditation, about emptying yourself of anything. What we're talking about, see, the problem with this is that thoughts, without thoughts, something's going to begin to drive you. Something will fill you. Something else will drive you. And if you aren't in control of your mind, will, and emotions, of your intellect, then who is? And what is? And so God is not saying just to empty yourself. He's saying empty and then put something in. In other words, the wrong thinking, the strongholds, come on, the imprisonment way of thinking. Come on. Let me help you remove that, God said, and then I want you to fill yourself with the word of God. Just don't leave it empty, fill it. And that's why it's so important. What? The W-H-A-T, what thoughts we allow ourselves to have. Proverbs 23:7 says this, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. See, thoughts should be a driving force in our life. Your thoughts will produce who you are. I don't like who I am. Begin to check up on what you're thinking. Begin to check up on your meditation. I don't like the way I handle my money. Begin to think, come on, begin to meditate on. Begin to get into the word of God concerning the area of finances and watch the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, come on, comfort you, transform you, help you, disciple you, and move you in a direction where you're handling your money better. Why? Because you have the word of God, which is the will of God. This is God's system. This is the word of God. Come on, the law of faith and seed time and harvest. Come on. You can't just do things the way that you pick and choose the word of God. I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to do that. God has a system in place. It's the Bible. When we do what the Bible says to do and we operate according to Scripture, we're going to get biblical results. And I mean, biblical proportion, it's going to good measure pressed down, shaking together and running over. I mean, it's just going to, it's, you know, God is about multiplication. Amen. And so, again, your thoughts will produce who you are. You can trace every wrong decision back to a wrong thought. I can think of things right now, things that I've done. So we need to think about our thoughts. And so Philippians 4:8, why New Age meditation suggests not to think, Christian meditation centers around your thought life. Amen. Familiar passage in closing today that many of us are familiar with. Philippians 4:8. If you're taking notes, it says this. It says, finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are what? Of a good report. Is there anything in your life right now that you could just think upon right now that this is a good report? This is something good God's done for me? Or is this something that God, you know, has moved in your life and done some things for you? Come on, maybe there's times in your life where you thought you were in the muck. Come on, you're buried like the zebra in the watering hole, in the mud, and the hyenas are showing up, and they're ready to devour. You may have felt like that. And then God says, oh, no. Here comes a way of escape. I was watching another video the other day where an alligator and a lion came head to head. The lion is swimming across the water, And here comes this big alligator, probably a crocodile, being the country it was in. And here comes this croc coming across. And he goes after the lion. The lion sees him. But that lion has such a way of movement and speed about him, he was able to maneuver around the crocodile and get out of the water. Come on, somebody. The word of God on the inside of you. Come on, meditating on the word, getting God's word, thinking about what you're thinking about. It will cause you, even when you feel like you're in the muck, even when the barrel's on top of your life and things are just difficult and you're like, oh, God, where? He'll come on. The word of God in you, coming out of your heart, out of your mouth, faith-filled words. God, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on. Revelation 12:11. I'm an overcomer by what? The blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. I have faith in God. God, I'm in the muck. It's not feeling good, but I thank you. I'm speaking to this mountain, Mark 11, 22 and 23. You're going to raise me up in the name of Jesus, and I'm coming up out of this muck because I'm in your plan doing what you told me to do, and I'm stuck, and I need your help. And God, come on, the word of God in you is like that lion. Come on, you see the trouble, you're feeling the trouble, but God, when you open your mouth and declare the word of the Lord and the faith in God and his ability and what he can do, he reaches down, raises you up with speed and removes you away from the crocodile. Do you hear what I'm saying? He'll get you out of the muck. So things that are a good report, Philippians 4:8, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Mutter, ponder, meditate. You know, one of the definitions of meditation is the mutter. It means you're saying something. You're talking. Amen. See, the Bible teaches us that what we think on is not only vital, but the devil knows this. See, the Bible says Satan believes and he trembles. So Satan tries to infiltrate and invade our thought life. Come on. You could worry all day with, what did they mean by that statement? Come on, we were together. What did they mean? We were at a family reunion, and they said that. What did they mean? Why? Because your mind goes to the fact that you have a history with this person, and it's always something stirred up. So you go to the party. You go to the reunion. You go. Come on, you got your meditation already in position. You got your defense mechanisms up, and you're already ready to go to war, and you ain't even got to your destination yet. Come on, I'm talking about real thought life, real life. So you got your defense mechanism up because you know they're coming. And if he says something stupid, she says something stupid, are their kids getting in my way? Come on. I'm going to light them up. You're already thinking about it. Is that the love of God? Come on, the enemy, Satan will jump on that and be like, that's right, boy. You set them straight. That's right, girl. When they come, mm-mm. Come on, the first stroke, just get after them. And instead of getting after it in the love of God, you get after it in your flesh, and then you bring correction so hard to somebody that you're in the flesh, and it's carnal, and it's not the love of God. Can I just get real? This is where we live. Do you need to bring instruction? Yes, in the love of God. Do you need to bring correction? Yes, in the love of God. Come on. Why does the Bible say, ye which are spiritual, those that are down, out, busted, and broken, restore such a one in a spirit of bitterness? Does the Bible say that? Restore such a one with hatred, with the bad attitude. God ain't going to send none of us to restore anybody with bitterness and a bad attitude. Come on, you got a preconceived idea because you've not checked your meditation and your thought life. And so you grab a hold of a wrong thought, the enemy jumps on that, and here you are. You're just riding as a son and daughter of God, right on a thought. You built this whole plan. You got this complete fortified prison in your mind. You got a stronghold. But yet sometimes we can't figure out, man, I just don't know what my problem is. I can't defeat. I can't get out. Maybe we need to change what we're thinking upon. Allow the power of God, the glory of God, the word of God, everything that God is to transform our lives by Romans 12:2. By the renewing of the mind with the word of God, with the washing of the water of the word. So that's why the devil has a heyday in the body of Christ, because we won't check our thought life. Many of us had a plan before we even came to church this morning about some things. Come on, touch me and I'm going to break. Poke me and I'm going to speak. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is in the church. And then we wonder why the world will be like, I don't understand why they don't come to our church. I can pretty much tell us why. Amen. You see, why are you picking? I'm not picking this morning. I'm trying to bring the reality of where we really live in our lives, in our heads. Just in simplicity. And so 1 Corinthians 2:16 says this. See, most Christians never know that they are thinking thoughts that were strategically planted in their minds by the enemy. That's what I was trying to say. This strategy of the devil to get built into you a stronghold in your thinking so you can become like a prison. Your thoughts, come on, they imprison you. It's a stronghold. God said, man, break that down. Let me break that out of you. Let me help you. Come on, get that way of thinking out of you. I don't know why I repel people all the time. Man, I get around people and they flee. Why? Won't you ask God about that? I used to repel people in my life. I'm like, God, why am I repelling people? Because one time you told me, you said, you won't let me heal your pain. So in your pain, you're always talking about it. Every reunion, everywhere you go, you're always talking about your pain. And people are tired of listening to it. And the ones that I've sent to you, listen, I'm just sharing a life experience. Then the ones I try to send to you to help you, you reject them. People are led of my spirit and full of the word. They come to your life and you've rejected them because you don't like what they're saying to you, because it puts a finger on the very heart of the issue and you're not even listening to me. You're not listening to them. I know this is touching home this morning, but the Bible says, let me say it again, let's stomp on the strategy of the enemy. How? By 1 Corinthians 2:16. Having the mindset in which we have the mind of Jesus Christ. The Living Bible says we Christians actually do have within us a portion of the very thoughts and mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5 says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in what? Jesus Christ. Think of yourselves the way that Jesus Christ thought of himself. That's the Message translation. The NIV says this, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Romans 12:2, we just mentioned this. Be transformed by what? How do I do this thing? You're transforming by the renewing of your mind. You're getting the word of God out. Come on, you're reading that. You're building within you a strong spirit. Come on, you're developing yourself. The Living Bible of Romans 12:2 says this, this translation, be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all you think and do. You don't have to have that old nature, that old. Listen, we've been set free from the law of sin and death. We've been set free from sin, set free from all the things that we have done. Come on, before Jesus Christ. Amen. It says when we died, we accepted Christ. We put on a new coat. We put on the new man that has Zoe, Zoe, the life and nature, the ability. Come on, the life of God. Come on, I'm born of God, and whatsoever, this is the coat, this is the new life, this is what I'm walking in, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world is our what? Faith. It's gonna take faith in the word of God, in the name, in the blood, in everything, come on, the word of God, for you to get movement going in your life. You're gonna have to not sit and be lethargic, you're gonna have to get up, take your place, grab the word of God, open your mouth, and make a bold confession of faith of who I am in Christ, and this is what Jesus done for me, and I'm changing my meditation. Some of you need to quit whispering. You need to get it out of your mouth. And then some of us, you know, I do shout, well, praise the Lord, but I'm not seeing the victory. It's not about a repetition, folks. It's not about faith mechanisms and just, it's about hearing from heaven. Jesus said, I spent time with the Father and I hear him. And whatever he tells me to do, that's what I do. That's what Jesus said multiple times in the gospel. We are the same way. We get in the word of God. We pray. We spend time with the Father. Father, speak. speak to me. When you speak to me, that's what I'm going to speak. When you tell me to do something, that's what I'm going to do. It should be a supernatural, come on, natural progression. I go to the Father, he gives me instruction, and then I go do what he tells me to do. I say what he tells me to say. Do you hear what I'm saying? Come on, strong faith is by a strong relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, man. There's times you're going to, in your thought life, you may even say, I feel like a failure. I feel broken. You're going to have vulnerable seasons. You're going to have vulnerable times. But this is where God said, don't stay there. Let's go. Let's get moving. He'll send people in the body of Christ to you and say, let's get going. Let's get going. Let's move. Amen. If we will intentionally think the way God instructs us to, we will recognize any intruding thought and cast it out. So 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this. It says, it tells us to capture, 2 Corinthians 10:5, our thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Other translations tell us to cast down or tear down any thought or an imagination that is against the knowledge of God. And I want to say this. To capture a thought is to take it into captivity. Man, when you're grabbing something that is contrary to God, you're grabbing that thing. Come on, do you hear what I'm saying? You're grabbing it. Oh, Father, this is an intruding thought. The more you begin to put this in practice in your life, you begin to think about what you're thinking about, you'll grow to a place where you'll be like, that's a thought, that's an intruder, that's the devil. I was just talking to my father just this week. We were driving down the road. We're doing a little bit of landscaping, and we begin to have conversation. You know, when you ride with people, you begin to talk about things, and you just talk about anything. We begin to talk about a thing, and I just begin to tell him some of the things that had just, I'll be driving down the road, and there will be thoughts that just come to my meditation. Come on, you're never going to make it. I was at Boston the other day. I had a couple thoughts came to me. I said, you're financially never going to make it. And then he began to list the area, this thought that came to my head, begin to list areas where you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it here. You're not going to make it there. You're not going to make it here. Now, if you grab a hold of that right there and you begin to let that take the rest of your day, then you begin to meditate on that. That thought begins, meditated on, begins to turn into a stronghold. Then it turns into a prison. And then you begin to, well, I can't talk to anybody about that. Why? Because you're imprisoned in your own mind by meditating on a wrong thought repeatedly, day after day after day, and it turns into a stronghold, and it takes God to come in and break that off of you. It takes the word of God to come in there and to help transform your way of thinking to get that out of you and out of your mind. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is where we're at right now, and I felt like the Lord said to share that this morning. So what we think will produce who we are. Come on, I haven't got it all together and haven't got everything figured out, but I've learned enough through repetition by saying, you know what, I'm in the Word. Lord, help me, Holy Spirit. I asked the Holy Spirit when I was learning this myself a long time ago. I said, help me learn to identify. I asked them, Holy Ghost, help me learn to identify wrong thinking when it comes. Because I'm listening on the inside to the Holy Ghost, and he speaks to you and says, hey, boop, that's wrong thought. Get it out of here. Hey, that's not the correct way of thinking. Get that out of here. And there's been times where I missed it, and I meditated on a thing too long, and it got me angered. And then you know what it does when it gets you angered? It gets you messed up in your relationships with people. And then you wonder why you're repelling people all the time. It all starts with a thought. It's a progression that I can't teach upon in 30 and 45 minutes. I mean, you could teach on the mind for years. There's so much revelation in the Bible about the mind. People like, the Bible doesn't say anything about the mind. The Bible has a lot to say about the mind. Amen. And so for some of you, I hope this morning, by just hearing this, the simplicity of the word, there's something that grabbed you this morning and said, you know what? Made you think. Because that's the goal I believe the Holy Spirit put upon my heart this morning. It was because I changed the message of what I was going to speak on just this morning. I believe the Lord had something in store for us this morning. So think about your thoughts. Listen, thoughts become words. Thoughts become words. Words become actions. Actions become habits. Habits become character. Character becomes your destiny. Now, we've made this statement before, and I put it back in here again, because it's true. So think about what you're thinking about. What you think will lead you to a destination. Right and wrong destinations are determined by the initial thought meditated on. If you're going in the wrong direction, don't check up on what your wife's doing, what everybody else is doing. If you're going in the wrong direction, what your friends are doing, what the church is, listen, you're going in the wrong direction, and it's been revealed to you. Begin to look on the inside. Don't begin to look outward. Begin to look inward. Because God can move you from going to a wrong destination. He can get you over shifted lanes. How many of you know there's many times you're driving on the road, there's an accident. When they have an accident in the highway, the people come, the police come, the ambulance come, they block off the highway, and what do? They reroute traffic. When there's a traffic jam, what does your GPS do? Your phone goes beep, 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 and it redirects. It don't even ask you. It tells you there's a traffic jam. We're going to redirect you. How many of you know God, the Holy Ghost, can help you redirect? I mean, like that quick to where you're in the wrong direction. You say, God, I'm considering all your ways. Help me go the right direction. And he said, I will help you do that. Wrong and right destinations are determined by the initial thought meditated on. And so I close 100% today with this statement. Stand with me. Amen. Praise God. We want to bless all of those by praying for you that are watching online, those that are in the house this morning. Father, we thank you for those that are watching online and in this house this morning. We thank you for the word of God that was put, the seed of the word that was put into their heart. I pray that that word was received and we would produce a mighty harvest in their life. For those of you that are watching, we call you blessed. We thank you for tuning in. We thank you for enjoying the season that we're in right now as a church. Many great changes ahead with Destiny Church. We love you. We bless you. Have a great Sunday.